don't you just ask me some questions?
Okay.
Yes.
Is this your first book?
This IE is the first anthology of Asian American writing for the trade. There was one other anthology that I was associated with, Asian American Authors, edited by Kaiyu Shu, HSU. Let's see. But this is the first of its kind. And it's doing very well. The editors had a lot of difficulty getting the thing published. We first went to some back east houses, and they all turned it down. Then we tried to Western publishers specializing in California and Western literature. And we got a bunch of English lessons from them, told us we didn't know how to write, some very insulting stuff. And finally, Howard University Press brought us out on their premier list. And the book got a very, was well received by the New York Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Rolling Stone. Interestingly enough, it's been totally ignored on the West Coast where we live.
Why do you think it's been ignored on the West Coast?
I really feel that, the West Coast, mainly white America, does not isn't willing to give up its image of Chinese, Japanese Americans as being people who don't practice a culture of their own but preserve a foreign ancient culture. They have an investment in believing that we are not creative, original. Mark Twain is the one that said that we were imitative, and in schools, Mark Twain is held up as a champion of Chinese in America.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You mentioned a while ago some of the problems that you encountered, some of the prejudices that you encountered in the Midwest when you moved there. I wonder, I'm told that you're the first or perhaps the only Chinese American playwright to have a play produced in Broadway.
Off-Broadway in New York, yeah, the legitimate stage.
Did you encounter any kind of prejudices or difficulties in getting that medium open to your work?
On the West Coast, yes. No first-class West Coast producer would touch the play. The East-West Players, a small group, an equity group in Los Angeles that I work with now and then, they weren't equipped to do it at the play at that time, but their productions are looked on, the critics treat them very patronizingly, I find. And I really felt I had no chance of getting produced at all if the East-West Players didn't do it. But I tried other producers on the West Coast. None of them would touch it. There's something about a Chinese-American who talks, something about a Chinese-American being expressive, aggressive, assertive, that is so against the grain of the stereotype of us being quiet, soft-spoken, passive, polite, mild-mannered, that really seemed to go against the grain. In New York, where there is a large number of Chinese-Americans, the Chinatown there is probably as large numerically as San Francisco's, if not larger. But in San Francisco, we count for maybe 5, 6, 7, 8% of the population. In New York, we count for less than 1%. There are 8 million people there. And I found New York a little more cosmopolitan, a little more, well, New York is hungry. So it was a fluke. Again, as with IE, it was the blacks that helped me. Sent the play to Harry Belafonte Enterprises, and the executive producer there, Jewish man by the name of Chiz Schultz, who was working for Harry Belafonte, liked the play, Belafonte could not do anything with the play since he was having financial problems with his entertainment empire. But he sent the play on to the American Place Theater, and they wanted to do it. At first I thought, well, it must be some little loft outfit, 22 chairs, 22 auditorium chairs and a coffee machine, and that's it. But I was surprised to learn that they were a real house. And when I went to New York to do a documentary for WNET on New York's Chinatown, I discovered that the American Place Theater had been calling all over the country looking for me, trying to find me. They heard I was in San Francisco, they tried to get me there, then they heard I was in Seattle and were trying to get me there and elsewhere, and I was in New York. And
you're referring to Chicken Coop Chinaman?
The Chicken Coop Chinaman, my first play.
You've had two more since then, one of them very recent.
Right. Year of the Dragon I did last year in New York, and toward the end of last year I had a small play, did an experimental program, a play in progress, at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. That makes it the first Chinese-American play in San Francisco. It's by default. I'd say it's the first known or the first to become known among a broader white audience. But I'm not the first Chinese-American writer, or the first Chinese-American playwright, or the first Asian-American playwright by any means. I might not even be the best. I think it was a matter of timing and luck. I think that was mainly it. In compiling IE, in searching for, I was convinced that I was not the first, and that I might not be the best, but I'm a pretty good writer, so I didn't feel bad about going out and looking for other writers. And I found that there were some fine living writers and some really brilliant older and, well, long gone writers.
Would you mind mentioning some of these people that you consider to be living and earlier
One of the first Asian American writers we found was Sui Sin Far, S-U-I, another word, S-I-N, F-A-R. She was a California writer writing in the 1890s, published in the original Sunset magazine. Fine writer. She wrote stories of Chinatown, Chinese America that were very revealing. That they explode all the myths of the Chinese coming over here to make a lot of money and go back and settle down. She blew that up. I mean, the Chinese that came over in her work, they came over here to make a lot of money, get land here, and settle. They were farmers. The land here was a lot richer than the soil of Guangdong, which had been worked out and recently been ravaged by floods. And so all the topsoil was gone down into, a farmer goes where there's the good land, and there was a lot of good land in California. And this is reflected in her stories. John Okada, great Japanese-American writer, who wrote a book called No-No Boy, a novel in 1957. He died in 71 at the age of 47, before I had a chance to meet him. Louis Chu, C-H-U, another famous among us, great novelist, New Yorker, wrote his novel, Eat a Bowl of Tea. I forget the publisher right now, but it's a novel that covers, it goes coast to coast from New York to San Francisco. And I love it for its language. It's he takes Cantonese and it's not a literal translation into English, but it in reading it,
Rosenbeck,
you
really
get the flavor of
Dennis
of Chinese American language.
Please call the information desk.
Lawson Inada is a living Japanese American poet. We have Curtis Choi here, who is a young Chinese American poet, filmmaker. I mean, the list goes on of the living and dead. None of these people are taught in the schools. I found when we asked, when we started teaching Asian American literature, Asian American writing in the schools, we couldn't get these courses credited by the English department. The English department at Mills College, for instance, said that our literature wasn't American enough, whatever that means, or that we weren't writing in proper English. I mean, Faulkner doesn't write in proper English. No one faults him for that. No one faults J.D. Salinger's colloquial writing. But writing in our own vernacular, we're put down. We're sent back to school. I'd like to see Asian American writing legitimized, recognized as American writing, because certainly it isn't Asian writing. We're not writing in Chinese and Japanese. It's strange, though, that John Okada could not get his novel published in the United States. It was finally published by a Japanese publisher, Charles Tuttle.
Do you think this has to do with the fact that white America is trying to keep the minorities, the other groups, down, and that in all our history, it's the white historian with his biases who says white man, not woman, not black, not
sure,
Japanese.
Sure. I think it's white supremacist. Sure, the whites look on white American culture and American culture as being synonymous. Whites call white culture dominant culture, or greater society, or all of these wonderful euphemisms for we're on top and you be like us, or nothing. It seems that the ultimate achievement for us in white eyes is to become accepted by whites. As for women, the ultimate achievement by, you know, in this culture is to be recognized by a white man. Or
do you think that your book and your plays will help get this moving in that direction? Is it easier for you each time you've had a play produced, a book published?
In a way it is, and in a way it isn't. Each time I come out, there seem to be more people waiting to jump on me. and as my stuff gets further and further out, well, when my play was only in New York, it was only New York and national magazines that jumped on me. Some for me, some against me. With the national broadcast of Year of the Dragon, it was broadcast in Los Angeles already, and the critics there ignored the fact that it's the first Chinese American work that they've ever encountered before. That this play represents the first Chinese American work by a Chinese American about Chinese America, starring Asian Americans, that's ever been on the screen of TV or film ever. But they assume that anything that they don't understand or anything that confuses them a little bit is not their ignorance, is not their lack of familiarity with the subject matter, is not their lack of familiarity with the sensibility, but is my bad writing. But they wouldn't do the same thing to Bergman or to the latest Kurosawa movie. They'd say, wow, this is a great movie. Wild Strawberries, boy, Clocks Without Hands, that's pretty hip. That really says a lot about something, but I'm really interested in Sweden now, boy. But an Asian American comes out, or even a black at one time, they'd say they're being hostile. They're being purposely enigmatic. And it just might be us being us. The truth is, I think that Asian Americans, all minority Americans, are probably a lot more literate in white culture than white people are in our cultures. And yet we're the ones that are called culturally deprived. Several whites in the same field as Louis Chu. I mean, most whites don't even know the name Louis Chu, so they won't know where to start. And I can also name several yellows, say, comparable to Catherine Ann Porter. But I doubt that many whites can. So who's culturally deprived? And when I say this, I'm not being hostile. I think it's just a statement of fact. I don't think white people are being hostile to me if they say, Frank, can you name the 13th president of the United States? And if I can't, I say, yeah, I guess I don't know. And but if I bring up something that a white man does not know about me, there's a certain hostility that that comes out, that I'm being hostile, that I'm purposely, and I am, of course, I'm purposely pointing out his ignorance, but I should hope that his response would be, well, I'd like to learn, instead of, you're being hostile, don't tell me anymore.
How many schools have you gotten Asian American studies into?
Well, I haven't gotten Asian American studies into anywhere.
Okay, are there Asian American studies?
I really don't know. UCLA has an organized program, but they have no courses. San Francisco State has some courses, has a department. UC Berkeley. City College of New York. That's all that I know for sure. In all of these places, Asian American Studies, except for San Francisco State, is in jeopardy.
Dennis Ruthenberg, please call the information desk.
For one reason or the other, I don't believe this discipline of Asian American Studies has been really organized yet. Some of the people involved in Asian American Studies boast of not being academic, not being scholastic or formal, and I really feel that they should be. I think they should be more academic. They should be engaging in research and hard scholarship. There is a lot of our history to be recovered, a lot of resources in our history to be questioned. There is a lot of our works to be rediscovered, recognized, and even our literature and our cultural achievements. I think they have to be put into critical perspective by Asian Americans. That right now the only serious essay on Asian American writing is the thing in IE. The others, I don't think it should stand as the only perspective. I don't think it should stand as the only theory of Asian American writing. And it's up to Asian Americans, Asian American scholars or literary scholars, to dig deeper. Because I still feel that even though I'm very pleased with IE, it's still a superficial work. In the sense that we haven't devoted our entire lives to gathering it, and that doing very little work, just going to the library now and then, traveling around, checking out used bookstores, we've been able to compile enough material for 3 volumes, enough good material for. But the editors of IE are mainly working writers. not scholars. This is something that we've taken on as a labor of love, but we devote most of our time to our own writing.